Welcome to the CEN show, where you hear the voices of the world community in which we learn about different things in all areas of people activities. I'm your host, Roski Mascani. This evening we have with us Brother Mashinda. He's in Louisiana. I'm in Los Angeles. And this website, communityeducationnetwork.com, where you access the podcast. We have three podcasts. We have Conscious Corner on Mondays. We have the CEN show on Wednesdays. And now we have a new show on Thursday, Your Money Matters. It is a financial literacy podcast, and it's hosted by Sister Making It Happen. So this evening, we have Cookie, the young old lady. She's a colleague of mine, and she's a very knowledgeable young lady, and also she is an entrepreneur, and also she's going to, as she told me a few days ago, she's going to go back to school and get more education to further her pursuits and careers. So, Cookie, welcome to the CEN show, and can you tell us a little bit about yourself before we start the interview?
Thank you for having me. A little bit about myself. I work at the school, as you clearly stated. I'm not a teacher. I actually work with the kids in a different way. I have a lot of knowledge behind me, a lot of life experience behind me. A lot of people don't know about it, but I used to be married, lost my husband 7 years ago. Along with a few other people, I lost a lot of important people in my life, which has made me a lot stronger in different ways. And a lot of things that I've learned throughout life in general has made me who I am now. You know, so I think I'm an all right person. I'm awesome.
Okay. But thanks for sharing that with us. Now, before I start with the questions that I have, what do you mean by the young old lady? Cookie, the young old lady.
Well, you know, I get a lot of times people say I don't look my age. I don't look my age. I'm a 41-year-old woman, and a lot of people tell me I look like I'm in my late 20s, early 30s. But when people speak to me, and I have to give DJ Callie Gold her rights to the name, because she was the one that named me this. We were having a conversation about what she was going through. I'm very good at giving advice. And she looked at me and she said, I'm looking at you and you look so young, like I'm talking to a teenager. However, you sound like an old woman talking to me. And she said, I'm going to call you the young old lady. And I said, you know what? That is a perfect example of who I am. So I just ran with it.
Now, who is this now? Who is that?
It's a friend of mine. She's a DJ. And every now and then I see her out and about. And we had a conversation the last time I seen her. She was going through some stuff. And I was able to give her some advice. And she's looking at me like, I feel like I'm talking to an old woman. But I'm looking at someone that looks younger than young.
Was this recent?
It was this year.
This year? Okay. So that was pretty recent. Okay, good. Right. So let's get started with the questions. The first question is, we work with high school students. When observing them in general, what do you see?
I see a lot of pain, a lot of misguidance. I see that technology is raising our children. I see that the village is no longer standing. You know, we always said it takes a village to raise a child. That was something we always stand on. We grew up where neighbors was involved in you being raised. You could trust people with your kids to a certain degree. It's not the same no more. And these kids, they look for stability without the discipline. They don't want to be disciplined because they haven't been. So I see a lot of misguidance with them for sure. And it's up to us as adults to try to reach at least one of them. You know, that's my whole goal every day when I come to work is if I can reach one child to be the best version of themselves, then I've done my part.
Okay, I kind of heard the village concept and the adults. I kind of share in that train of thought that the adults are not really guiding the children in the way they should go. Are
Right.
you kind of saying that also, or what do
Yes.
you say about
Yes.
that?
I'm saying that because, you know, that's why I say with the village, I know, like I told my grandmother, there were certain things that she taught me and certain things that she didn't teach me. And that's fine, but that's why the village is there because they pick up the slack where you fall short as a parent, you know. But nowadays, we're not giving anyone that opportunity to help us. I don't know if it's because everyone's afraid or they don't want their kids to not have respect for them the way they have respect for other people. I don't know what this train of thought that these parents are going through, or guardians, shall I say. But it's been a lot of these parents dealing with these kids on their own. However, they're not putting in the work that they need to put in, so they're falling short in certain areas, and that's why these kids are falling short.
So is that, do you see more of the students in that light, or it's a few of them? What is it? Is there any
I
students
see a
that you
lot of
see?
that in a lot of our students, and it's not just because their parents fall short, it's also because most of them aren't being raised by their parents. They're being raised by siblings. They're being raised by aunties and uncles. They're being raised by grandparents. They're being raised by the system. So sometimes, because of that factor, we overcompensate, and these kids get the slap on the wrist when they need to get it 10 times so they'll understand what the consequences is when they become an adult.
Let me get Brother Mashinda to weigh in and see if he have any extended questions or comments about that. Brother
Give me
Mashinda?
a second. Give me a second. I'll chime in a minute. Just go ahead and keep going. I'll chime in.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of wanted this question to kind of extend because when I look at the kids, I see that they're getting mixed signals from class to class, from bell to bell, you know. But I don't want to bring, I don't want to say that the job is that way. This is not really primarily about the whole functioning of the job, but it's sort of like when we deal with these kids, and their actions kind of speak to why they're not doing what they're supposed to do versus doing what they're supposed to
Right.
do. And I think that the restructuring of things could help.
Correct.
What do you think about what I just said?
You know, it's a lot of organized chaos at where we at. A lot of organized chaos. They're getting the same thing at the school that they're getting at home. No stability, no structure. It's like you said, it's a lot of back and forth from each class. You go to one class and you could do whatever you wanted to another class that where you can't do any of that, then another class where you really don't have to be here. When we get kids, I'm out there, so I see it. They're always talking about, oh, I finished all my work. Oh, I got an A in that class. You know, they have an excuse on why they're doing what they're doing. And that level of, you know, I try to tell them, you're not in college. That's where you're supposed to be until the bell rings. You know, if we didn't have a bell system, then that means you can do whatever you want to do and you know the system. So you know at this time you got to go here. But that's not how we run in things. You know what I'm saying? When you get to high college, you can do that. But even then, you're paying for the co classes. So you're not going to want to leave the class until you got all the information. But these kids, they have a mindset is if I get it done, I can do whatever I want to do afterwards. And that's not how it works. And a lot of times they're getting the slap on the wrist like they do at home. There's no consequences to their actions.
When I'm out in the public and I see how a lot of young people see how they act when they're driving, when they're in stores, they're on the street. I could see why they do what the things they do because it's of the structures of a place, you know, the schools. Then you could see why they do what they do because it's like being at a school, it'd be just a little, I'm trying to come up with a word, a little example of what you see on a grand scale. You know, they're impatient. They use any type of language anywhere.
They
It's
think they
really,
know everything. They're
yeah.
never wrong.
So, you know, and I wanted to ask you, what do you think the state of these children are? And what do you see the future? You know, how do you see it playing out when we see this on a consistent basis?
You know, when you, and excuse my French, when you raise assholes, they become adult assholes. So that's pretty much what we're heading for. I literally had a situation at work last night with someone who obviously had dyslexia when he was growing up and obviously didn't have a well enough education because you're doing Uber at 12 o'clock at night. And he rode up into my property. I tried to flag him down. He went straight to the back of the property. Even though he didn't see no other vehicle but my own on the property, he still stayed back there in the back. And I had to walk back there. And I tried to flag him down. He wouldn't come towards me until I got halfway down the property. So when he came towards me, I got a headlight on my head. And he's like, well, can you stop shining that light in my face? And I'm like, okay, you just rolled into my light and now I'm shining it in your face? Okay. I'm trying to tell him, you're not picking up anybody here because there's nobody here. If you're picking up from one place, if you're picking up from the train station behind here, you have to go around this way. And he's like, well, can you just look at my phone and see what address I'm going to? I'm trying to show you what it is. And he was just so rude. And I'm just like, and I said, okay, it says 2210. This is 2221. This is not the address where you're going, sir. So then he leaves and then he comes back and says, the address that I'm going to is right next, that I'm picking up at is right next door, just so you know. If that fence wasn't there blocking me, I would have been able to go through. I said, well, the fence is there because the property is separated. It's not the same property. But the crazy part is the property next door is 2201, not 10. So I'm like, oh my God. He flustered me for a second where I had to yell at him and tell him to get up out of there. Like, you really came back over here to really try to check me and you're still wrong? So this is the type of stuff that we're going to have to deal with when with these this generation because it's already happening. Kids that feel entitled but don't know the consequences of their actions. You know, they see a lot of this stuff on TV. When we came up and we seen this reality TV being born, we knew that it was fake. They're coming up and they really think this stuff is real. So this is how they're living. And sad to say, some of their home situations is like this too, where the parents be out there fighting people and fighting with other neighbors and dad and mom fighting all the time and you know, so much turmoil that this is what they see and they think this is real life. They think
Yeah.
this is what they think is they're supposed to be. They know what it made them feel like, but they can't help be a part of the same structure because that's all you know.
Yeah, I speak a lot to the students about the realities, the reality of things and what's happening that don't make sense, and then what should be happening that makes sense. Always make a comparison and speak the best way I can and give them examples. But it's a tall tale, what's going on in our environments at the school, outside of the school. I'm in the store and listening to these people. They talk any kind of way, and they talk about anything and everything in front of you. I'm surprised I ain't heard too much X-rated stuff, but they talk about everything else. So it's really
I
something.
think it was. I want to say that either the ending of last year or the beginning of this school year, one of the students has showed me that they have, you know, they have the Instagram social media pages that they all have where they show the fights at the school, what's going on at the school, everything. Certain ones the kids are in control of. They have one that is low-key X-rated, where the little girls is popping their booties, barely got on any clothes. You know, doing kind of stuff, and I was like, don't show me nothing else. Don't show me nothing else.
Yeah,
I was
I
like, this is not
wouldn't.
something I don't want. I want to see. And I'm just like, that's why a lot of stuff that goes on behind walls that we really don't know about, these fights that they be having, really come from social media. It stirs from social media. They come back to school ready to fight each other because of stuff they stirred up on social media.
Yeah, that's revealed a lot. Yeah, about the social media. I'm gonna see if Brother Mashinda have a question for you as it relates to this question, or do we have a comment? Brother Mashinda?
Hey, how you doing? So what was the question actually? Because I mean, I think I heard it. Can you run the question? Because I've been listening. What was the question?
It
And
says,
I'll actually.
and this relates to you also. It says we work with high school students because you work with students too that just come out of high school. When observing them in general, what do you see?
Well, okay, I'm in tune now. So, Sister Cookie, again, you do sound beyond your years just listening to you, and I commend you for your you being on the front line and trying to make sense out of all the organized chaos that you were talking about. But again, it's by design. It is a structural design that, when our students set foot into a school system, starts at state levels, federal levels, state levels, board levels. And when there's failure there, then people like Sister Cookie, who chooses to, hey, I'm going to do what I do to go to work and do the best that I can, and then, and call it for what it is. And so identifying the everyday plight of the children, being able to identify that. I mean, she articulately, eloquently spelled it out. I mean, really, not to blow smoke, but I think she is dead on it, in her honesty. And so what I see is very similar. I see the systemic, deep-rooted societal issues that are going on in the community, And we just happen to work in school systems. So we take in the community. And so community walks through these doors, through these hallways and what have you. And this is what we're charged with to deal with. And so there's been a complete failure, or I won't say complete. I don't want to be absolute and say complete, but there's been a lot of failure, more than 50%. There's been a lot of failure in terms of parenting, starting from the house. So let's deal with that. We have generations. This has been going on for generations. So I think I was watching the sitcom Martin, and Martin got some advice from the janitor. I think he was some guy was a janitor working at, I forget if it was at a school or wherever Martin was at, but he said, old fools were once young fools. So, you know what I mean? So that was profound to me, In other words, he was trying to share with Martin, at his young age, don't you become an old fool, because right now in your young age, you're being foolish. And so you'll grow up to be an old fool, because old fools were once young fools. And so what she's saying is, I heard something to that degree, to where, it's so when you have a kid that's growing up with no direction, they make it to adulthood, they become adults, they have children, and they pass on or don't pass on whatever is necessary or not necessary, to continue to live and to continue to go through life. So you play the hand that you're dealt. So we've had generations where, kids grow up, they learn bad behavior, they don't get this kind of they don't get disciplined. They don't learn a lot of correct ways to conduct themselves, and they bring it to the schools, which is, the community walking into the school, and then we're charged to deal with it. So I see it every day. I've dealt with K through 12. I'm working in post-secondary right now, but same communities walking in the door. I'm dealing with issues in my position every day. We have grown-ups who are rough around the edges that can't sit quietly in a classroom and conduct themselves without challenging the teacher on disrespectful levels and things like that. I deal with that. I'm dealing with that right now. So it's it, you know, and it hasn't always been that way in my 20 years or more, working in that, so we're looking at things that are, it's next level. So I share that sentiment. My time in criminal justice, working in institutions with children and things like that, firsthand. I've seen it in the homes, seen it in the institution, the fallout of behind the chaos that Sister Cookie's talking about, that organized chaos. How do we resolve it? We all have to buy in. It starts at all levels. Unfortunately, people have different takes on it, and they don't care, or whatever the reason is. So without me cracking up, and I can't speak for Sister Cookie, but I'm sure without her cracking up, and you too as well, we do the best we can with what our resources give us, and go try to make it home at night safely and without high blood pressure, and try to live another day, and that's it. But it's a state of emergency. It's been like that. And it's a lot of apathy, a lot of neglect. Who's to blame? We can point fingers, but my philosophy is I don't care whose fault it is, where, I mean, the origin of the issue. I'm willing to try to make sense out of it, but I need help, with the structural process. And but you have a lot of players in the game that can care less. So we just do the best we can with what we have and try to live another day. And that's it.
All right, thanks. So I'm gonna go to this. Do you have a response, Cookie, or do you want me to go to the next question?
I totally agree with what he's saying, and it makes sense. But yeah, you can go to the next question.
Okay. There are many concerning issues occurring in this nation: mass shootings, police and correctional facilities, mistreating and killing black people. What are your views about these events or some of these events?
Well, one of my biggest fans, and I heard this in one of my classes, I think it was a sociology class I took, the professor said, common sense is in common practice. We learn what to say, how to say it, how to look good on paper. That's the biggest thing now. You have to look good on paper so people want to deal with you. Look good on, in the social media eye. So you can, it's all about like the high school rules. I want to be the it kid, and part of the popular crew type stuff. But we forget that the mental state is an issue. You're looking at what they say on paper, how they look on social media, how everything plays out to be such this beautiful thing, but it's not, because their mental state is off. That's the problem with a lot of these problems that we have, is the mental state. A lot of people flew under the coop when it came to these mental disorders. And now they're put in positions or doing things that they don't have no business doing. It's a lot of issues that we have beyond what you just stated, And it's so many different things that contribute to why this world is falling. Now the police situation with their mishandling and everything, I believe a lot of the police, like I said, have a mental disorder that flew under the radar. Or they were the kids that got picked on in school and now they're in this position where they can't be picked on anymore, but they're still scared. So they're put in these positions. I always tell people that's the reason why I never became a police officer, because it's just another game. Being able to do what a lot can't do. You got some good people that's willing to do the right thing, but for the most part, you got a lot of them that's willing to look the other way, fly under the radar, let the other ones fly under the radar that they know that they that needs to be taken out. It's another way to get around doing stuff that they shouldn't be doing anywhere. As far as I feel about the killings of Black people, I feel like we as people, we have to fix what's wrong in our own community first before we could tackle anything else that's happening to us. A lot of the killings that I see is like sometimes I see where we fell short at in the situation, where we could have stopped it and stopped it from the beginning. And other times it's like, okay, they just went overkill and it was unnecessary. But those are those ones I'm talking about that are scared, because we're very passionate people, especially when we talk. And our passion could be mistaken for aggression. And it's like I said, it's a problem we need to fix within our own community before we can go outside of the community and fix it elsewhere. We are still fighting each other.
Well, I know that when you're being stopped by the police, if you know that this police has all of these accessories that can hurt you, and plus they have authority, they're law enforcement. When you know these things, your encounters should be intelligent. But
Correct.
when you're not able to handle yourself, you kind of bring on some unnecessary things your way. I always talk about this, and I've talked about this on this platform. You don't fuss, you don't fight, you don't flee. That's called the three F's by Neely Fuller Jr. So when you do these things, You okay, if you do fuss, fight, or flee, it's been proven time and time again that it does not work. So if the police intent is to come and get you, if you're being profiled, you're black and you're being profiled. If their intent is to come and get you, that's one thing. But when you sit up and fuss with them, and you sit up there and you try to, you definitely don't want to fight them. And then if you try to run, that's when their horns come up and you know you're about to get it. So you don't bring on more to yourself than already their intent. Because if they have an intent to get you, they're gonna get you anyway, but don't make it worse on yourself by acting out. And I always tell people when Sandra Bland got pulled over, and I don't know if you heard of Sandra Bland, but when she got pulled over, the white cop was very calm and was talking to her. And when she started, getting out of control with her speaking to him and telling him this and telling him that, I saw his horns come up, and that's when it got rough. If she would have just, and this is just my opinion, like I said, if his intent was to get her, he was gonna get her. But from what I saw, when she started, barking at him, horns came out of that man's head, and then it got rough from that point on. And then you saw what happened at the jail. They said she hung herself, and that was, I couldn't believe that from anything they say, but it's just, we kind of bring some things on ourselves with our behavior, and it just escalates the things that happen to us. But I just wanted to add that. We got our sister making it happen just showed up. How you doing, sister making it happen?
Greetings, greetings, family. Hotep, glad that I was able to catch y'all. I missed the interview with Cookie, the old lady. So I missed
The young old lady.
young old lady, excuse me. I missed
Yeah,
what
we
Cookie was being interviewed for, but I wanted to show some support and show up.
okay. So I think you know Sister Making It Happen, Cookie. She used to work at Centennial. And I think Sister Making It Happen, you know who Cookie is.
Oh, hey, Cookie.
Hey,
But
I think I know who this is too.
yeah.
Oh, I hear
But
that voice.
uh,
What's up? How
we
you
just
doing?
we're on question two, and we basically was talking about the police killings and these facilities, like I just heard on Democracy Now, where in I think it was Fulton County, I don't know if I'm getting this 100% correct or not, but the guy was in the he was having a mental health crisis, and he was in the jail, and the conditions were so bad, and he
Yes,
was
the
being
bed
neglected.
bugs.
And yeah, he was eaten alive
Yeah.
by bed bugs and insects. And it's just, and it's like, why is it's really terrible. They showed the picture like they showed Emmett Till. The family wanted people to see that. And they showed it on Democracy Now. And it's just so I basically asked Sister Cookie, what does she think about all of this that be going on? And she said a few things. And we just on question two. We got two more questions. So I think we should go to the third question, and then Sister Making It Happen, you can chime in on that once she answers. So let's go to that question. Former President Trump and some Republican politicians is pushing for people to own guns without restrictions. And people getting guns nowadays, and they don't have to do any background checks, and in some places you do, but they're pushing for all people to have guns. And I just wanted to know what do you think about that?
No, it goes back to the mental health the mental health issues that we have, you know, the reasons why we have these mass shootings and these killings in all is because it's a defect in the brain somewhere that's causing their mental to go on another way path that's not according to life, you know, and to bring that on means that you know, they're going to cause more confusion. It's like, are they trying to take us into the purge era where we will be purging people on the regular, where they want people to have guns all the time? Like, what is the real motive behind that? Because it doesn't make any sense.
I know President Trump was at the NRA convention, and he was pushing. He was talking about it. He's the president that, want people to have guns, and it's okay. What is that
If
about?
people, yeah, that like I said, that's it's a hidden agenda behind that. Because I like, what is
And we talk about mental disorders.
everybody have
Well,
guns?
what
Everybody,
it do is that former President Trump, is something wrong with his mind?
oh, yeah, he's feeble-minded for sure. That's for
Oh,
sure.
man.
It could be just a publicity stunt, a political stunt to get their votes, knowing that that would never happen. You know, it can
Definitely
be.
for votes, that's for sure. Now,
Yeah.
will he even get the nomination?
I
They
mean, the
got a
way
vote
it's
on
looking,
that,
it's a
huh?
lot of people that's not liking how Biden is and Harris is in there doing so. I see it. I've been hearing a lot of talk, watching how a lot of people, I'm in a certain type of groups on Facebook. So when I go into these groups and have these conversations, and then, you know, some of me and my friends will talk about it, it's a lot of people that's angry with them, and they rather have Trump back in there than have them,
You
which is crazy.
talking about black folks?
Yes.
Would
Yes.
rather have would that rather have Trump?
They rather have Trump back in there because they don't like how Biden and Harris is doing it right now.
Wow. They
Yeah.
give you any reasons?
Yeah, but I don't want to get all into that. You know, it's a lot of stuff that they're doing that they just don't agree with. You know, not everybody's going to be happy with every decision. You know, so.
Do that. Yes, some things I don't agree with either. About by I don't well, yeah, I'm a little. I didn't. I have narrowed my value system. So it's a lot of things that I don't agree with. But we live in a large world.
True.
Sister making it happen. Anything on that?
Well, I know that's a hot topic these days, you know. Yeah, it is a urgent time. There's urgency everywhere. And so, yeah, some people are feeling the carpet being pulled from underneath them. They feel like their time is really, really running out. And their days are numbered. And so there's a reaction to that. So, yeah, people are arming themselves so they can be prepared for whatever's coming and whatever that means. You know, hopefully, you know, we can find peaceful ways to communicate without, you know, needing to, you know, have guns because, you know, they end up in the wrong hands. You know, I was talking to a young man the other day, and he was telling me about an experience, of a family member of his who had an altercation at school, and you know, another student bought a gun, and you know, it's just so unfortunate how these things trickle down and how they end up in the hands of people who are unstable and you know, unable to make good decisions and have processing issues. And therefore they shouldn't have these things in their hand. But so it's a double-edged sword in terms of being able to defend yourself and arm yourself, protect yourself versus a purging type of a mentality. So we have to stay awake and aware so that we can make good choices and be in a good space. So that's kind of what I want to say. It's everyone has their own views on the guns, but you definitely want to be able to protect what you have and your family and yourself. But you definitely need to be mindful of those situations where the guns end up in the wrong hands and innocent victims get impacted. So that's what I would like to share.
Okay. Brother Mashenda.
Yeah, well, I don't look to Trump or Biden, for any kind of freedom or anything like that. We got to free ourselves, We talk about know thyself on this podcast many, 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 many times, And so people asleep at the wheel. And when you sleep, all kind of things can go on, Organized chaos, like Sister Cookie said, it has been constructed, and it's in place. And Biden, Trump, all of them responsible, they are who they are, So I don't look, they're not my savior, they're, of course, running the country and all that kind of stuff and passing bills to put you back into slavery, that kind of thing. Hey, but I'm just saying, only way that you combat them is to be a part of the solution. That's pretty much getting yourself involved or getting yourself in tune to what's going on. And but again, it's a tall order, that because social media has a lot of people sound asleep, and it's a great tool to use if you know how to use it. But as far as how it's been used, it's reckless and abandoned, and it's an unfortunate situation. So again, I don't have the total solution. I just know that I have to try to do my part, but it's a state of emergency, to for lack of a better phrase. It's deep out there, it's real out there. And you looking at it firsthand, you're seeing the fallout of the situation day to day. You go to work and you see the Walking Dead. And not everybody, it's not absolute. You have some beautiful children that want to learn, and they come in and they do the best that they can, and I applaud them, but when you're trying to reach the underdog, meaning the one that's in trouble, hey, it's a lot of negative forces and evil spirits out there that are trying to keep that situation in place. And so understanding that, being able to identify that at the very, at first, and then trying to be a part of the solution is a whole nother situation. So, but hey, whether it's Trump, Biden, any of them, George Washington, whoever, it's anyway, a lot of things go unaddressed under administrations. They're not, I don't even think Biden really understands a lot of things, and Trump has an agenda, and simple as that. He's narcissistic, he has his own ego, and he has something that he's trying to do. And that DeSantis over there in Florida is trying to, be one of the candidates that's running against him. They trying to, prove something. And we all know what it's about. White supremacy is for real, and they're brazen, and they're very vocal about it. Like we talked about, you mentioned yourself, Rasa Key, the other day. They're making it known. They're not afraid to speak, about it. A lot of times it used to be in the meeting before the meeting, where they would discuss those things, and institutional racism behind the scenes. But now it's overt racism, and it's not, and it's any and it could affect anybody though, not just black people. Whoever's caught, who you know, there's going to be casualties on there's casualties on both sides, you know, and but we get the brunt of it. We get the brunt of it, you know. So I'm gonna remain optimistic and cup half full, not half empty. Do the best to continue to do the best that I can, and applaud those who, you know, try to make a difference, you know, in this situation. But it's deep out there. You competing with a lot right now. We're in a whole nother, this is a whole nother situation we got going on a technological, sociological front. And so good luck.
Yeah, you said a few things there. Now, Cookie, I want to kind of set this question up a little bit because it's really broad and to the point. Now, the question is, I'm going to tell you what the question is, but before you answer that, I want to kind of talk about it a little bit. And this is the question. What will make the world a better place for all people? So, one thing about that is if we want to make the world a better place, the world must be in a certain place right now, because that's where I'm coming from. And then I put in there all people. So before you answer it, why do you anticipate, I said, to make the world a better place?
It isn't to make the world a better place. It's to all people for me.
Repeat that,
Because
please.
it's not to make the world a better place. It's the all people for me.
Okay.
And I say that because it's kind of like a trick question because not everybody's going to all be on the same page.
Well, is the world in a good place then?
No.
Okay, that's why I say what will make the world a better place for all people, because the racism, white supremacy is a stance that I take that our world is in a color construct where you have a hierarchy of people, or they think that they're a hierarchy, but they definitely got the power, which is white people. And that's talking about worldwide. But you know, everybody may not agree with that. But if you look at it and you do the math, I think it's true. So if that's the case, that means that what will turn this around where all people will benefit from this world?
Removing hatred and removing jealousy, envious people, envious from people's heart. I feel the reason why a lot of cultures and there's a lot of race wars is because there's a hatred towards each other out of jealousy. You know, history speaks for itself, and as we get close to knowing more and more about it, they've been new, you know. A lot of us are discovering it on our own as we get older. And it's frightening to know that we know more about who we are. And in order
Can I ask this? Who would be jealous of who? Is it power structure people jealous of each other, or what? What? Let me, I'm trying to understand that.
it's the royalty of it. You know, we come from kings and queens. And then you go over there and you see how they're set up and how everything is made beautifully, and you want to take away from that.
You talking about in
That's why
Africa?
You know, so much of our history, our arts stolen from them, stolen from over there. And that's where this comes from. Like, what do you have to steal it for? What are you taking from them for? You took some of our ancestors and brought us over here out of hatred. It was it there's other stuff that played a part in there too, but again, it was a hatred, it was a jealousy. And people say, oh, take them, not us. You know what I'm saying? All of this stuff plays a part. Someone was jealous somewhere, which stirred up a hatred for people, for them to hate them and start trying to overconquer them and conquer them and conquer them. We've seen it in Apocalypto, where in that movie where they had the natives being taken over by other natives to be used as slaves or to just kill off, you know, and then next thing you know, they're being taken over by somebody else. And then you
Look.
see someone coming in off the waters, and you wonder who these people are, and then they came in and took over on everything else.
Are you saying there's a constant jockeying for power?
Power, yes.
No.
People see that power. People see that structure that you have. They get jealous and they want a bit of it. They hate that you have it. They want it.
Sounds like some.
I mean, that's how society is now to a certain extent. It's a lot of people out there, they don't want to go get it for themselves, but they'll damn sure take it at all costs. It's a cycle.
So what would make it better if that's eliminated? How do you eliminate that?
Good question. It's a lot of things that play a part in why we're fallen as people.
Envy and greed. That's what it sounds like you're telling me. What can we do? I know what we could do. We can educate, educate, educate. Change value system, change value system, change value system. That's my answer.
But with education always comes someone that's willing to challenge the theory.
Well, when I talk about education, I'm talking about logic, like Neely Fuller said, Neely Fuller Jr., logic that came with the universe. Truth is what is. But yeah.
Think about it like this. Hitler didn't think he was wrong.
Who?
Hitler. He didn't feel like he was wrong. He got upset after World War I. He found people that felt the same way he did and started a political rally. Next thing you know, he's in power and did what he did. He never once felt like he was wrong. He felt like he needed to do that. So it's, and he was educated. So it's not that, I don't feel like it's always just about education. It's like I said, it's more to it because sometimes our brains don't develop that way. So the way we think could be off to the next person, which it may not be off to them.
Well, it's always in the results, right? If
Right.
you running around here exterminating people because they have a different culture, and you think that that's correct, and you spoke about that mental illness, I think that's mental illness. In
It
my
is.
opinion, Hitler went around exterminating them Jews, round them up, put them in concentration camps, and exterminate them. What was that about? So. Thinking that you better and you ordained to do something like that, that's some serious mental illness if you tell, if you're talking to me.
It's
But
true.
yeah, it's tough. Any more before I go to Sister Making It Happen and Brother Mashinda?
Oh no, that's all I got.
Sister Making It Happen?
That's a lot. So,
Yeah, that's a lot.
yeah, I mean, it is. It's heavy because, yeah, we do need to think about our future and our legacy. And but you know, that's kind of a higher order thinking. So if you're struggling and you have, again, processing issues and you can't tell right from wrong, it's kind of hard for you to think about peace, because what's peaceful to you might not be peaceful to someone else. So I just think it starts at home. It starts with self. And then you have to start with your local, build community, and then step up. And you know, because once you step up, now you represent more than just yourself. And it is bigger than you. It becomes bigger than you. So, you know, we all want peace, I would think, you know, as a human being, as a mother, you know, you would want, thinking about your future, a peaceful existence. You know, work hard. You want to live a peaceful life, enjoy your retirement, and enjoy some peace. And then, you know, it's a hostile world we're living in. So you have to create your peace. You have to create your community and create your spaces where you can have peace. But even with that, someone gonna have to carry the gun to ensure that the peace is kept.
Wow. Brother Mashinda.
was the question?
Yeah. What will make the world a better place for all people?
Well, I mean, hey, people got to learn how to love, and that's what's missing. Love is universal, but you have entities in the universe that don't subscribe to that. It's negativity, yin and yang, so negative forces. So you go, it's the way it is. I think the more positive and more love that we have, that would have to overcome the hate. So it's coming. We're in that realm right now. It's some transitions going on. I don't know when it's going to go down like totally to where, but there's it's going to change. It's like nature. I'm like I'm trying to be part of the change, trying to be part of the love and the positivity, and so it's why they call it a struggle. That's why they call it the struggle. And I'm optimistic because none of us are in control of this. It's going to play out. I mean, we have influence in it, but I'm saying it's going to play out with us, and that negativity, I believe that it's going to come to a head. And but right now we're in real time. We're in the midst of it and we're dealing with it. And so we all have our war stories and we all have our, our experiences and things like that. And hopefully we won't become a casualty. So just stay strong, be vigilant. And like like the theme of the podcast, each one teach one. That's all we can do is try to make sense within, out of it, try to, deal with individuals that we encounter in our path of life. And because none of us can save the world, but the world's gonna be all right. It's just a natural progression. It's just hopefully, it happens sooner than later.
Brother Mashinda mentioned one thing. He said love. Love has a definition that could be different from person to person. So what is love? Cookie, what is love?
Oh, wow. God.
What is God?
A higher being.
What are some characteristics of love?
Respect. Treating people the way you want to be treated.
What if you want to run into that wall? Or you want to run over somebody? But no, I understand what you said. Sister making it happen, what's the definition of love?
We can look in the dictionary, but I want to say love is kindness, love is patience, you have love for your family, you have love for your friends, you might love a hobby, you might love a pet,
Does that mean strong feelings for?
definitely a connection, like I said, love and kindness and honesty, and so you show it, you feel it. It's an action, so like it's many things, and there's many types of love, but the main thing I would say from my perspective is respect those the way you want to be treated, and it's just the golden rule, so that's how I would define it.
Brother Mashinda, I got a definition, but I want to hear Brother Mashinda's because he the one that brought it up.
Well, it seems like you want to challenge that, not challenge it, but every time I talk to you about love,
Yeah,
you
then we don't need to
want
go
to
there. Just tell me what the
ask
definition is.
what? No, it's not we, it's where I'm going.
Okay.
And I'm not being contrary. I'm not being contrary, but I made a statement there. You brought it up. What is love? So basically, love is to me is me allowing you to be who you are, and you allowing me to be who I am. That's all. And respect about the sin. Love is God. God is you. If you want to go biblical, he said you're an image of God. Same thing. Okay, I'm not gonna go religion tonight. I'm just saying that you get into your God. Got to get into your God force inside of you. So that's what love is. When you're operating at the, I think somebody mentioned it, when you had operating at the ultimate capacity, flying above the BS and spread that energy, that's love. That's what love is to me, And I mean, again, like Sister Making It Happen said, there's depth. Definitions of in the dictionary and things like that. We can talk about emotional love. I love you. Oh, I'm in love, and agape love, which is again biblical, and those kind of things. I have no problem with that as long as it's positive. So keeping it, what you'll stand in a positive space, stand in a truth space. Love is truth. Love God. All of that is synonymous. So I don't want to play around with semantics, At the end of the day, I think we all know what it is. It's just that how you conduct yourself, how you treat your fellow man, your fellow woman, and all that, respect. But again, God is love and love is God. What is God? God is you. You meaning that if you tapped into that higher spectrum, if you're not tapped, if you sleep and not tapped into that higher level of consciousness, then the love is being decimated, or it can be distracted, or it can be sidetracked, where we become envious and evil and all the negative things, So we got to stay in that God space, that love space. And that's all. That's this a off the cuff, off the dome inter.
All right. Well, let me say this. If I say that love is doing what's most constructive for yourself and an environment, that means that love is a challenge. Because to reach a point of doing things that gives you the best best results, and growing up in and acquiring all this bull crap we grew up in, Love is a challenge. And hopefully we could become people of ultimate love, which to me is doing what's most constructive, period. What's going to give you the best results and is good for you and your environment. But that's sort of my definition of love. And if anybody want to hear Martin Luther King Jr., he broke down three types of love, and you could get that on YouTube. He had a very thorough explanation of three types of love. And Brother Mashinda mentioned one of them, which is agape love. So it's like he said, that higher consciousness. And when you get in that higher, the higher teachings, the higher learning, it could be beyond what people can fathom. It goes deep. So the young old lady, Sister Cookie,
Yes, sir.
you have any parting words for us? And I'm glad you came on this evening to share some of your thoughts, because we want to hear a lot of people's thoughts and we want to learn from it. So anything you want to leave us with?
Don't know. I really appreciate you inviting me on. You know, I really did have a good time. Definitely invite me back anytime.
Yeah, we always have reoccurring guests, so we can just schedule you again, and this time you might want to do a presentation.
No, I'm not doing
Oh,
I mean, you try to
I mean, we learning things around here.
me to work.
Definitely, when we reach out to the community, we getting what's on people's minds, and we learn from it. It's a learning experience.
Most definitely. Most
So
definitely.
I appreciate you. And I'm going to go to Sister Making It Happen. Sister Making It Happen, can you tell us what's going on for Thursday?
Yes, tomorrow we're going to be having a second or a third in a series of Financial Literacy Month. Your money matters. Going to be going over some life insurance 101, making sure that we help folks understand what all the wealth of things that life insurance can do for us. So that's tomorrow at 6:30, right
Yeah.
here.
And people must know the platforms are open to the public. You can come and listen, participate, share some ideas. And on Monday, I don't know if we're what's going on for Monday. I think we had a guest for Conscious Corner. I'm gonna have to get with Professor Amin-Ra to see what's going on. So next Wednesday we have a math teacher coming on, Sterling Jones, and we're going to talk about Blacks and technology. So it's going to be a panel discussion, and we're going to have a few people in the technology world join us. And Brother Mashinda is a was a he taught technology, so hopefully he'll be there, and he's usually here. So we really encourage you to come next Wednesday, Brother Mashinda, so you can share some of your information about technology. And when it comes to Black folks, we're gonna have a panel discussion. So Cookie, you could join us anytime. You know how to come on the platform. It's every week. Right now, three shows, and Sister Making It Happen. I think she's gonna, when she do continue, it's probably be once a month. Is that true, Sister Making It Happen?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So yeah, we'll have financial literacy once a month. And I appreciate that. We do need to know about this money.
Most
All right,
definitely.
folks.
We'll have some folks that we're interviewing, different people be sharing their different strategies and, you know, offering help for those who are looking for help as well.
Excellent. Excellent. So now we're going to take our usual pause. That was coined by Brother Rohan Marley. So we're going to take our pause. So I'm going to say each one teach one, and everybody have a good evening. And Sister Cookie, hold up, don't go nowhere.
All right.